Well, we're here together at Ingrid Scalzi Cowley, Nacht na Cara, in Galway this evening. Pádraig Keen, Doreena, and myself, Virginia, just having a chat about a topic that's very topical at this time of year, and that is class allocation. And we hope that this swapping of ideas between the three of us would be of benefit to other principals as we share our practice in our own schools. This is really, we're chatting as we would chat at a support group meeting on this topic. We're coming from three different side schools and really from three different situations on this, and that will emerge as the conversation goes on. So Doreena, how many mainstream classes would you hope to have in your school in September now?
We'll have 13 mainstream classrooms in September, and we'll have three teachers in SEN. And we'd hope to have 357 children, because we're a developing school, or we have developing school status again.
Great. Now, Pádraig Keen, you're
I'm offering to a Gaeltacht school. So we are a three-teacher school, and we are in a cluster situation then for special needs. And we would share some hours with one particular school, and then other hours we have above and aboard, so we have a temporary teacher for those hours.
Great. And in my own situation, I hope to have 14 mainstream teachers next September, five teachers in special needs and three special classes. And again, like yourself, Doreena, we've developing school status again this year, so it's a growing situation. Now to get maybe to chat about the actual allocation of the classes, how do you begin the process, Doreena?
Well, generally speaking, we would have a policy that we would change every 2 to 3 years, and what I usually, up to now, what I was doing is I would send around a class allocation sheet to everybody, and they would fill in their choices. But I wasn't doing that on an annual basis. I was doing it on every 2 years or every 3 years when there was a change. But this year, after going through the process, when I didn't expect as much change, even though we have developing school status, I would have spoken to the teachers, and we wouldn't have gone through the going through the choices, because we would have a lot of temporary teachers, etc. But I believe now, after going through that process, learning from possible some mistakes, that it is better every year, regardless, even if you are not going to change from class, that you're still going to stay in the same area, that you still are given a choice, because I think it's a very individual thing for every individual teacher. They're not going to be outspoken about it, talk about it every day, but when they have to think about it, they will actually put their own choice on paper. So I think that's something I would have learned in the last few weeks, and if it could be of benefit to somebody else, regardless if you mightn't be thinking of changing a teacher, you might want them to stay somewhere, I'd still give them the choice. Mm. They make the initial choice. Mm.
Well, it's always evidence too when you get back that sheet of paper with their first choice, their second choice, and their third choice, and you keep that from year to year. It's also a reminder to yourself next year, well, I didn't give that person their first choice, they got their third, so maybe we can roll back a little bit now this year and you know, be more generous with that person, or try and facilitate them better. That probably leads to better morale all over.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Pádraig, in your situation would be quite different to that.
It is quite different, and our policy at the moment is that because we have three mainstream teachers, we have decided to rotate on a three-year basis. So, for example, if I'm teaching at the junior infant of the school, I would rotate to the senior infant so that the children would meet a different teacher. If I rotated to the middle of the school, for example, I would be teaching some of the same children again. So to give the children the benefit of having a new teacher on a three-year cycle, we're doing it that way at the moment. Now, our numbers are growing in the school, so hopefully in September we will have enough. With the 81 is our magic figure at the moment, so we're hoping to have enough children on the roll to have a four-teacher school. And again, that will have implications for our policy on class allocation.
Well, I'd be similar to you, Doreena. We have a general discussion at a staff meeting so that teachers know before we begin what's on offer, basically. And then they get their form, and I leave it with them for about 10 days, and first, second and third choice, and it comes back. Now, I suppose to try, again, if we're a senior school, so teachers haven't as much choice as they would have if we had the whole vertical school. It's just from third to sixth and the special ed, so three zones, really. And to kind of promote the movement, what we have decided to do over the last 4 years now is to reconstitute every class every year. Now we do it very carefully in that we divide the classes into groups. If there are 3/3 and they're moving into 3/4, we divide them into 3 groups at Easter, and they work in their group for that term, and each group is constitutes a balanced class in itself. It's balanced in terms of ability, male, female. Every child has a friend, and they do their friendship chart to ensure that they have a friend, and a very best friend, and 2 other friends within the group. And then when we come to putting to making the new classes, we take a group from the first class with a group from the second with a group from the third, and that constitutes your new fourth class, your first new fourth class. So I think we have removed the fear of the difficult class. There aren't any more difficult classes because you can engineer it that you don't have difficulties crowded in the one area. Mm-hmm. And also that you don't have children, we have quite a number of children with special needs. Out of 360 children, we have 50 that have special needs, and they're integrated, they're all integrated, apart from children with special classes who are integrated for some subjects. So it spreads that load more evenly, and I suppose that's why we had to do it like that. I have found that it has started to bring about greater movement. Teachers are opting now to move, and as they opt to move, other teachers realise that unless they move, they're blocking somebody else. Mm-hmm. So find that that's working.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is that time consuming?
It's very, very time consuming doing it. It would take on average, first of all, it takes quite a bit of time at Easter time to divide the groups, and I rely totally on the teachers to do that themselves. Then as they're working, they're free to move people. If there's any explosive situation arises between the children, they find children not getting on, they're free to move around for a number of weeks, and then it settles down. And then when we actually come to sitting down, it will take about between 2 and 3 hours per class level. The meeting will go on for 2.5 to 3 hours. And even then, you know, you might finish on one day and teachers might come back and say, I'm still not sure about that combination, maybe we should look again at it. It does actually, it's very time consuming, but it has made a huge difference to the whole behaviour aspect of the school as well. You know, it has really almost eliminated behaviour.
And do the children realise this is going to happen after third class? Yeah.
They do realise it's going to happen, yeah. And the parents now realise it as well. I have had very few questions even about it. One question this year, none last year, one the year before that. It's been explained to the parents in fair detail.
So Virginie, would you mind telling us a little bit more about the friendship chart that you use?
Well, it's a very simple chart, really. I'm sure it's something we could put up on the resource file on the website. It grows out of a class lesson on friendship, and it's a well-developed lesson that the teacher gives, and at the end the children simply put their own name in the centre. They have their best friends in one circle outside that, and then in a wider circle they have their other friends. And you possibly end up with a lot of the children's names in the class on the chart, but it's a very good guideline, and it's something that we would keep in the child's file then, so that, you know, if you're maybe approached by a parent in September and told, well, my child has no friends, you can take out the chart and say, well, these are the friends she chose herself. So it, you know, it gives you a justification for the decision that you've taken.